Blog Talk Radio.
Please forgive us from 10,000 Maniacs on WAMS Radio, and that's very apropos today. Hi, I'm Burke Allen. We're going to talk with the author of the Little Book of Forgiveness, Pat Crosby, who has a pretty amazing story to share with us today. Pat started off on Wall Street, of all places. She was a securities analyst for many years, spent a lot of time up there working in the world of stocks and bonds and commodities, and as a registered financial planner, built and had a large international organization of marketing reps, produced millions of dollars in sales, and then went into clinical psychology, studied that at the PhD level for many years, before beginning her spiritual quest, which now has gone on for over 25 years. And if you'd like to talk to Pat, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. It's a free call in the New York City metropolitan area. The phones are lighting up, and we've got a caller now on WAMS Radio. Hi, this is Burke. Who am I talking to? Hi, and welcome. Hi, who am I talking with today?
Burke, this is Pat on this line.
Hello, Pat. Thank you for being on the program.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I love your show. You have great guests. I love the 15-year-old you had on recently talking about bullying in high school, and it took me back to my years in high school. And I said, boy, I really appreciated what she had to share with us back when I was 15 a few decades ago, and it also reminded me of new things I had to forgive going back to my high school years.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for the compliment, and thanks for being on the program today. And you have a pretty amazing background yourself. As I looked through your materials, I saw that you just mentioned high school. You went on, though, to be a Wall Street person, and to go from Wall Street to where you are now, what an amazing transformation.
I was on Wall Street, Burke, in 1987, working as a commodities broker on a day that came to be known infamously as Black Monday. And that was the day the markets crashed. There was the market bottomed out. I was selling at that time commodities baskets to very rich investors. We had a minimum sale of $250,000. That's how much it cost to enter that particular game. And I was calling clients after the crash, and people up in Westchester and places were having to sell their houses to pay their margin calls. They were wiped out overnight. In my office, the other brokers, many of them were packing up. They had lost all their clients and all their business. Most of their clients were wiped out. And that was a great circle we've come around, because similar things are going on now all around the country and even all around the world, aren't they, Burke?
They are, and you talked about this happening, you know, on Black Monday back in 1987, and I'm reminded of the famous 80s Wall Street movie with Michael Douglas as Gordon Gekko, where he very famously says, greed is good. And I would imagine during that time you probably saw your share of Gordon Gekko's on Wall Street.
I was already on my spiritual path when I was called back to Wall Street. I had been on Wall Street about 15 years earlier when I first came to New York. And anyway, I was recruited back in. And so I had a front row seat to one of the major calamity events on our planet. And so part of that whole story, Burke, is it's cyclical, isn't it? Things go up, things go down. There's a saying on Wall Street, you can definitely predict what the markets are going to do. They're either going to go up or they're going to go down. So we're seeing it's actually a good philosophy in life because, and I'm glad you brought up greed, Burke, because we cannot hold on to anything on the material plane, even though we use the material plane to support us and feed ourselves and shelter our families. Still, all of that is temporary, and every spiritual tradition has always told us that. And during the boom times and the easy times, we have that opportunity to study spiritual lessons. And by that, I don't mean any particular religion. It could be any of the world's great religions or philosophies or what people just learn when they're sitting in their own quiet contemplation out in nature or wherever they like to sit. Truths of the universe are revealed to people if they're open and receptive. And it's those truths that keep us all glued together when things are falling apart. And so right now we're in a time of many things falling apart, many things being taken down so that there's room for new things to be built. Those who have done renovation in their home know before you can start building some new gorgeous project, you usually have to do some demolition first. And
Crosby is our guest today, and she's talking about forgiveness and the little book of forgiveness. And Pat, thank you so much for being on the program. You have seven easy steps to forgiveness. Could we go through those seven steps?
Yes, and I would also like to say, Burke, that those seven steps are in an online meditation that's free on my website, iloveforgiveness.com. That's a guided meditation that takes people through the seven easy steps. And then also there's a little book that people can purchase. It's a few cents under $10, $9 and change. That it's a very simple little printout, and the seven steps are there. But the seven steps are a breathing exercise that was revealed to me by the wonderful spirit beings who showed me this form of meditation on forgiveness. And it's also how to let go of things from the past. Now, I'm not sure, would you like me to do the little meditation on your program? It takes about 6.5 minutes, or would just refer people to the website and they can do it? And I can just talk a little bit about the seven steps. How would you like to pursue it, Burke?
You know, I think that's fantastic. The website is iloveforgiveness.com. That's the letter I, loveforgiveness.com, mm-hmm. if you'd like to go there. And you said that's available as a free download on your website.
Yes, it is. Right at the very top on the right side, they'll see subscribe. It says subscribe for the free audio. And everyone who subscribes will receive a link with that audio. And to prevent spam, of course, people will get a link coming to their inbox saying, is it really you? And of course, you have to click that, and then you get another email that gives the link to the meditation there.
We'll point people in that direction so we can continue the conversation with author Pat Crosby today. The website, again, is iloveforgiveness.com. And if you'd like to be on the program, our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. Several folks are calling in. Be sure when you do call in that you listen to the automated prompt and be ready to be opted into the program today on WAMS. So, Pat, you go from Wall Street to begin this spiritual journey, and at some point in there, you studied for quite a few years to become a clinical psychologist.
Yes, I did for 5 years in formal education, 3 years at the PhD level, 5 years doing practicums and internships in clinical psychology settings, including schools and mental health facilities and day hospitals for developmentally, I'm not sure what the current proper word is, but adults who cannot live on their own, who need support. And during that time, because at that time I thought I would be myself becoming a professional clinical psychologist in the therapeutic mode, I underwent about 5 years of my own analysis through the kind of classical path of becoming a therapist, which is you have to study yourself first. And it's the first time ever in my life, Burke, that I had somebody listen to me just so calmly and so non-judgmentally. I grew up in a family where we had alcoholism, and for those who have been in that family situation or have friends or relatives, you know there's a lot of chaos and a lot of craziness and a lot of double messaging and very skewed communications. And so when your child coming out of that background, you reach your young adult stage and you really don't know how to communicate and talk, and you repeat the patterns that you observed around you, and those are not very efficient patterns for developing relationships, so you tend to repeat a lot of the mistakes that your parents made just out of ignorance and not knowing another way. So when I stumbled into the opportunity to have my own therapy process, for the very first time in my life, someone just listened to me without constantly interrupting, without giving judgments, without giving pronouncements. It was such a transforming experience, Burke, to have someone just listen without expressing any opinion. And I didn't know I had so much snarled up inside myself. And that was the beginning of my waking up to the fact that we all have inside ourselves this shadow self, or this kind of, I call it the self we put in the closet or down in the basement for later when we're going through crises in life. We often don't have the time or the tools or the understanding to make sense of them or heal them. So we do put them away for later. So when my later came and I started looking at these things, I was somewhat aghast and somewhat horrified, but also thrilled that I now had the opportunity, which my parents did not have, being in another time and culture, did not have, to understand some of these patterns that were passed down from generation to generation. So as I began to unsnarl and unbundle all these things inside myself, these strange patterns of behavior and thinking and emoting, I came to understand myself better, but also the human condition, because we all have strange ideas in our heads that we picked up here and there that make us operate very often unconsciously and create scenarios with people and within ourselves that are not something that we would, in hindsight, we often wish we had created something different had we had the tools and had we had the understanding and the wisdom. So to bring this full circle, when I was shown I did a trip down to Peru, which I was guided in my meditation for several years to go. So when I finally went, I spent 2 weeks in deep meditation in some of the most powerful energetic places on the planet there. And I was shown there how our thoughts and our emotions and our actions stuff inside us. And I use the image of being in a closet or in the basement, but what happens, have you ever seen the inside of a golf ball, Burke, where all those rubber bands are all snarled together and they make this compacted mass? Well,
sure.
We stuff all that stuff inside ourselves and it looks like that. And at a certain point, we might feel it physically. People have aches and pains, or we have hard place in our heart, or our emotions, or our thoughts are constricted in a very limited way, and we literally can't unsnarl or undo that mass. So what's so particular about this type of meditation, and people who do down listen to the audio meditation or get the little book of forgiveness will have this all laid out step by step for them. But we do with prayer and meditation, and we ask these very special spirit beings who are given the divine assignment to help people get free of this compacted, snarled up mass inside themselves. We ask them to begin to pull these threads, like these hard rubber bands outside of us, and to begin to pull them out one by one. And it's a very gentle process that we drive at whatever speed we want to, because spirit beings who work with humans to help us heal are very compassionate, very loving, and very gentle. And they let us go at our own pace. So the way I work with it is, let's say I'll remember something that happened some stage in my life, and wherever I am, I could be sitting in my car at a red light, I could be taking a walk, I could be washing the dishes, I could be waiting for a website to load. Something will flash through my mind. And all I have to do is say, oh, please take this away from me, thinking of the spirit guides. And that gives them permission to pull one of these snarled strands out of the core of our being. And so bit by bit, we can unravel and pull these old energy patterns out of us. And in the process of doing that, we also are guided to maybe listen to, let's say, a call like this or other healing calls that are on the radio now or on websites, or articles will suddenly come across your desk or your inbox about forgiveness, or you might find a local support group, people doing forgiveness work. So tools come to you once you ask to have help to forgive and pull these old, heavy, snarled memories and masses and energies out of our being. So what makes this particular form of forgiveness unique, I would say, Burke, is that we call upon higher powers, and that's for each person to decide what that phrase means for them, to help us with this process. So we could study about forgiveness from books, and we can go to groups like Course in Miracles where they explain the spiritual power of forgiveness. But this forgiveness meditation, as in the Little Book of Forgiveness, actually brings in the power of prayer with very specific beings who have an assignment to help humanity get unburdened from all these old memories at this time.
Pat Crosby is our guest today. It's the Little Book of Forgiveness with 7 Easy Steps of Forgiveness, and you can visit Pat online at iloveforgiveness.com. And Pat, we've been scrambling to work out an opportunity to actually have you on the air with us, because you're quite the world traveler. You have been to some of the most exotic locales on the globe on your spiritual pursuit. So tell us about some of those places that you've been that have really touched you.
I will. And I have a special offer I want to make the guests on your program. So I'll mention that when I finish going through some of these wonderful places I visited. So I guess we could start with Wall Street, because that's pretty exotic for a lot of people, right?
Absolutely.
I grew up in the Midwest, and I just wanted to run away to New York and see where all the action is. Probably my first trips abroad, let's see, I have to go back now, were India. I made maybe 4 or 5 trips to India and the Himalayas over the course of 20 years. My last trip was 13 weeks in Kathmandu and up in Tibet. We were 2 weeks crossing the Tibetan Plateau, going over to Mount Kailas, which is a very, very sacred pilgrimage spot in Tibet, in western Tibet. And let's see. Oh, I take it back. I had one more recent trip to India in 2006. I went to a gathering in Ujjain, which is kind of in central India, south of Delhi. And in Ujjain, they have something called the Kumbh Mela, which translates as spiritual fair. If you could take Woodstock and multiply it times 100, you might have an idea of the size. I think the crowds are estimated about 50 million people. It lasts one month, and people camp out. Just about every who's guru throughout all of India and the Himalayas comes with their assorted followers and ashrams. They do ritual and ceremony nonstop, round the clock, 24/7 for 30 days. And on certain days, which are the most powerful according to astrological calculations, everyone takes a sacred bath in the river. And I didn't know what to expect. I did do that, being a very curious seeker myself. And I couldn't believe when I stepped into the river when it was my turn, it was like a surge of lightning just went through me. It was just so magnificent, so beautiful. So in a nutshell, that was one of the powerful places. I've spent probably a year total in the different Hawaiian islands, over different years on the different islands, going to the different sacred spots, meditating, connecting with the different powerful spiritual entities that one can connect with there. In one of my, well, it's hard to say they're all favorites. In Australia, I camped out in Uluru, also called Ayers Rock, which is the big red rock. It's kind of the emblem of Australia in the very center of the continent. I think it was a 4-hour plane ride from Sydney on the coast to Uluru in the middle of the continent, just to give you a little idea of the size of Australia and Uluru. It's a very, very sacred place to the indigenous people there. The energy there that I experienced the first time I saw the mountain when I took the bus from where all the people stay, the visitors, we have to, it's all highly controlled for ecological reasons. We had to take a little bus over to the actual sacred mountain. And when the mountain first came into my eyesight on the bus, my heart just exploded and tears started pouring down my face. So that was my introduction to the energies of Uluru. And I spent 10 days there hiking and camping and meditating. And I think we could do a whole program at any one of these places. And let's see, Peru has called me the last couple of years. I've made 2 trips now. This year I was there for a month, and I went back to the places that I first encountered the previous year and spent extended time there meditating and going deeper into some of the mysteries and the sacred knowledge that is held in that part of the world. And I've traveled around the United States a fair amount too. I did spend 6 months on the road this winter, and I went down in Georgia and northern Florida. There's quite a few Native American sacred places down there. They're different mound cultures, and so I visited those and meditated on the energies there. I was very interested to know in previous civilizations how the civilizations from South and Central America connected with the civilizations that were on the North American continent at that time, and the similarities. And the archaeologists have done an amazing job as they have been finding different remnants of those societies, putting them up in museums, and the Park Service has done a tremendous job helping understand some of the power of these previous civilizations here.
Pat Crosby is our guest. We're talking about all the places that she's traveled to and her book, The Little Book of Forgiveness, available at iloveforgiveness.com. That's iloveforgiveness.com. And proceeds from the sale of the book actually will go to various charities that Pat has selected. And Pat, in today's world, let's talk about forgiveness and why you feel it's so important.
If people don't start forgiving, we're going to blow ourselves up. That's the bottom line. And people who are not forgiving are blowing themselves and each other up, literally and figuratively. So my favorite quote is Gandhi's, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, and the whole world will be blind, deaf, and dumb. So as a practical person, I don't see any mileage or any profit in continuing with revenge and get even tactics. And so with the power of the internet, people all around the world are able to learn other patterns besides what maybe they learned passed down from their cultures or their lineages about talking things out, finding other people who want to find a higher resolution of things rather than shoot somebody that you think insulted you. And more people are turning the pointing finger that used to point at someone else and turning around and pointing at their own heart. What is inside me that I need to look at inside myself? How am I contributing to the burdens of the world? So this book comes along to help people who've reached that stage of awareness that, yes, there's things we can do. And forgiveness is not about saying somebody's right or wrong or making excuses for somebody. This forgiveness that we do is about looking inside yourself to relieve your own self of the hard feelings you have, the hard energies you have. And it has nothing to do with whoever might have perpetrated some crime or some grievance against you. That's like a different category. What other people have done, they have done. And you can't control that most of the time. Sometimes you can, but very often you can't. People just, let's say a suicide bomber, they come to a market and explode themselves and whoever is standing by, well, if that was your relative who got exploded, what are you going to do with the feelings you have? Are you going to get in revenge and go explode somebody else? You know, you're going to go through your grieving process and your sorrow process and look, what can I do to make this world a better place? And that always begins with our own selves. So one by one, we heal ourselves and we change until we have a critical mass of people who feel likewise. As was said, when Princess Diana passed over, one, are you going to light a candle or curse the darkness? So it's an individual soul choice. Now, before we run out of time, Burke, I do want to say what I'd like to offer your listeners in addition to the free meditation that they could get on the iloveforgiveness.com site. If anyone listening to this call or a recording wants to email me, and my email is on that website, for a quick little consult about some situation they have, I would like to offer that as a gift to your listeners. We usually charge for that, but I'm been tapped on the shoulder to help spread this type of forgiveness to people, so this is my offering back. And also, the little book of forgiveness is normally $9.95 or something like that on the website. But if somebody does not have the money, if they're out of work or they lost their job or they truly can't afford it, if they will email me and just a sentence or two about the situation, I will be happy to gift them with a complimentary ebook version of the book.
That is incredibly generous. Pat Crosby is our guest. The website that you referred to is iloveforgiveness.com. That's iloveforgiveness.com. And already on the site, there's a free audio download of Pat's 7 steps that you should really check into for forgiveness, which is so important in today's world. And Pat is even offering free telephone consults today and the opportunity, if you are truly in need, to pick up a copy of the Little Book of Forgiveness absolutely free by emailing Pat. And her email address is right there on the website, iloveforgiveness.com. And Pat, before we do run out of time, we have several phone callers on the line. I'm not sure that we can get to all the calls, but if folks are interested in what you do and in your program, what's the best first step that you would recommend to someone who really needs to get in touch with how to forgive?
I would listen to the audio meditation first. That's free. It's on the website. That is almost verbatim as it was taught to me when I was in Peru on a sacred pilgrimage and was receiving this information. So that's the first thing. Also, once they subscribe, whatever interesting articles I find online or that I'm guided to write, there's a blog section of the website, so when people subscribe, they automatically get the posts there. There's also a social circle, a Ning group, you'll see on the I Love Forgiveness. This is join, let me see what it's called, join, let me see. Anyway, that's a Ning group, and people there have been sharing their experiences of forgiveness, and just reading through other people's shares always inspires me. People have incredible stories about what forgiveness has done for them. One of my favorite quotes one of our members wrote was, if you don't forgive, it's like eating your own children. And I thought that was such a powerful way to express the power of holding on to grudges or letting them go and moving on. So those are things you can do. And one thing I would like to do in the coming year is set up people can start doing it. I thought I might have to organize it some way, but people can start using the Little Book of Forgiveness meditation. Even when they download the audio, they can play it in a group setting or they could read it from the book. And I do this at the workshops I give. We sit in a circle and we go through the little meditation. It's under 7 minutes, I think 6 minutes and 43 seconds the way I read it. And then we meditate a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, and then we share with each other what came to the surface. Maybe I'll put together a few facilitator guides or people already used to doing guides or groups or whatever. They would be familiar with the process. But just talking about things and bringing things out of our closets and bringing them out to the light of day takes away a lot of the toxic shame, a lot of the repressed feelings we have, and allows us to make room for the fresh, clean energy that the power of forgiveness can bring into people. So those would be some wonderful ways. And also, we've reached the stage with the project. We're in the second year now that I'm making available to organizations specific copies of the books. They can put their own organizational name on the book and maybe a little letter to their members. So we're in the process of getting corporate sponsors to fund that and different charitable organizations that would like to distribute that to people.
It sounds like you have a lot on tap and big plans for the future. The website is iloveforgiveness.com. The letter I, loveforgiveness.com. Pat Crosby has been our guest today on WAMS. Her book is The Little Book of Forgiveness, 7 Easy Steps to Forgiveness and How to Make Your Life Lighter and Brighter Today. Pat, thanks for juggling and finding time to get on the program with us. We sure do appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Kirk. It's been an honor and a joy.
Once again, thank you.